God's abiding peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away, though I cannot tell you how. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. He is mine, mine. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. Has wrought in me a sweet and perfect rest. In my raptured heart, I can feel it now. Each passing moment keeps him saved and blessed, cleansing light and heart and brow. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. Has given peace, perfect peace to me. He is mine, mine. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. He has given me a never failing joy. Oh, I have it now. Oh, I have it now. To his praise I will my ransom powers employ and renew my grateful vow. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. Oh, the love of God is comforting my soul, for his love is mine. Yes, his love is mine. Waves of joy and gladness o'er my spirit roll, thrilling me with life divine. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. Sing it one more time. It is mine, mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. He is mine, mine. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity.
We just praise your name this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to you. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you. The reason. worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. From the beginning, amen. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Thank you, Jesus. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. Thank you, Lord. We worship your name this morning. Give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. Here we go. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change us, Father. Glory to you this morning. Have thine way with us, Lord. Have thine own way.
That's what the sermon title is today, The Work of the Lord in Us. Praise the Lord. We won't turn to this first scripture, but David in the book of Psalms said to us in Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And it's interesting that in the Bible, 12 times it says, thy wondrous works. That's an important thing. What all God has done in the past, over the centuries that the world has been created, even the creation of that God did by just speaking his word, and it was done. And then the work that he did in Old Testament people, the work that he's doing in our lives today, clear here at the end of this church age. And I really believe we are getting to the end of this age. This work is going on, and his works are wondrous. He is doing magnificent things in us all the time. He's so faithful to do that. Brings us to new things in our lives that he wants to work. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's ask the Lord to bless the word as we hear this lesson on the work of the Lord in us. Glory to God. Father, we thank you so much. Truly, as we heard this morning about the creation of man, what a work, what a wonderful divine work. This whole creation, and then the creation of man and woman to be up here upon this earth. Because you wanted people to praise you. You wanted people that you could work in their lives and draw them close to you and hear their praises, Father, and teach them about your ways. That's what you were desiring. And we thank you today, Father, that we have this opportunity to let the Lord God work in our lives exactly what he wants to work. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless the word of God to us today. Encourage us and give us your word to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. The work of the Lord is a spectacular thing to talk about. Just think of how he's worked in the thousands of people in this world from the very beginning. In our Bibles, we have recordings of many, many, many people that God worked in. And he's still doing that work today in our lives. Praise the Lord. His plan was to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And he's going to come again. And during this time right now, it's called the church age. We live in the time when God is dealing with people to come into his church, not the building or an organization, but come into the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and making them part of his family. And then he's doing a work in each individual life. It's so precious. We want to turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, I've preached on this before, and I know you've heard messages on this, but the Lord seemed to really quicken this to me again, talking about this work of the Lord. And then this scripture, we're going to begin reading with verse 8. We read, and of course, he's speaking to Jewish people here, but he's working in our in the lives of all of us in this age of grace that we live in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to begin reading with verse 8 of chapter 64 of Isaiah. He says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hands. Praise the Lord. We know that we read this morning in our Sunday school class, Brother read how that God formed Adam and out of the dust of the earth with his hands. He just made this man. Of course, it was his just word. He has that kind of power. But he made Adam and formed him after the image of God. And then he made the woman in chapter 2 and verse 22, I believe it is. He made the woman out of the rib of Adam. And, you know, just God just doing these marvelous works to bring about the human race in this world. And so he is the potter. And I've told you before in times past when I preached about this, that I had an opportunity at one time to teach a pottery class. I really didn't know anything much about it when I had to do this in my job. But I learned many things about the clay, and it was a great lesson to me to see how moldable and how pliable that clay was. And it was made of the earth. This wasn't some kind of plastic clay. This was real clay. And we would have the elderly people where I work to create something. And it was amazing what they could do. Even people that had no ability to even work with their hands, yet they could roll little rolls. And then we would help them to coil it into a pot and different things. And then how that pot had to be fired in the oven and for a certain length of time. And it had to be painted, and they were able to paint, even though some of them could do nothing but jab like this. But they painted these beautiful little pots. And then we had a display where people were invited to see all of the creations that people had made. It was a great blessing to the elderly people in that home where I work. And so God is today working on us. There's a little song that a lot of us sang as a little chorus. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars, but he's still working on me. It's taken him longer a week to work on me, and I know it has on you too. He has been working all of our lives on us, and he will keep that work going until Jesus Christ comes again. He's going to finish. One of the scriptures says he will finish his work. He will finish his work. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. In Jeremiah 18, since we're here close to Jeremiah, the book right after Isaiah, we're going to go to chapter 18, and we'll read a little bit there about Jeremiah also likening God to a potter. Of course, most of us, I think, are aware that the potter is the person who makes things. In those days, especially that we're reading about, they had potters that were in villages, they had little housing, little sheds or something, and they had pits that they dug the clay out of, and they worked on that, and they made all kinds of objects for people. Some of the Native Americans, they made their own clay, their own pottery, and we bought that from them. But let us read here in verse 1. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah, he was a prophet, from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." See, God was going to use this illustration of the potter and the clay to speak to Israel. He had spoke to him through Isaiah. He's going to speak to him now through Jeremiah. And he says, he was obedient in verse 3. "I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." And I hope all of you have seen that, because that is such a marvelous thing to watch. When they, with their foot, move this lower wheel, and it spins the top wheel, and they're modeling this with their hands all the time. Now think about that, how the Lord does that. He's just working on us all the time. He's changing us. If we have a desire to be changed, he won't go against our will. That's one thing he doesn't do. But if we want to be different, if we want to be who he wants us to be and yield it to him, he's going to keep on working, and he's going to keep on whirling that wheel. Maybe sometimes we feel a little bit dizzy from all the work he's doing. But it's a wonderful thing to see a potter. And I hope all of you have seen that, because that's what the Lord is doing to us. We're just clay. No, we're just earth of the earth, earthy, the scripture says. But he takes us and he molds us into something wonderful. In verse 4, "And after he watched this man work on the wheel," in verse 4, "the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make." Isn't that a beautiful thing, that God working, you know, why would the potter, if the perfect potter is working, why would the clay, why would the pot become marred? And if you haven't seen that, a lot of funny things can happen. It can start getting unbalanced and get all lopsided on one side, or it gets a hole in it. And then the potter has to stop and start working on it again. And if it's too dry, if the clay is too dry, it can't be worked. If it's too wet, it can't be worked. And so that's how the Lord works in us. He begins this work in our lives to change us to who he wants us to be. But sometimes we get all lopsided. And you know, I've seen it happen in working with clay. My boss was really a potter. And she would take that clay and slam it on the tabletop. And you'd think, oh my goodness, you know, because something didn't come out right. And that sometimes happens in our lives. Things happen to us that it's hard for us to take. It's hard for us to understand, well, why God did allow this. I've told you many of the things in my life, in my own life, but God allowed things in my life over my time of yielding to God that were very, very difficult, like the loss of my child. And now, of course, the loss of my husband, the loss of all of my siblings, all of them are gone. All of these things we think of as God molding and working in us to make us like who he wants us to be like. He doesn't want us to be like a father or a mother. He wants us to be like him. And so he's making a perfect pot out of us. And notice what it says in verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, he's speaking to Israel, the nation that back there. But we are also the work of God's hands. And it says that in Romans 9:20. We can't say to the potter, Lord, why did you make me like this? Do you ever feel like that if you were maybe don't like how you are? Maybe you think you're too fat or you're too skinny or you're too short or you have something that's going on in your life you don't like. And so you say to the Lord, Lord, why did you allow this? What? Why would you allow this? This is too hard. And we have the promise of God that he will never put on us more than we can bear, but that he makes a way of escape for us to bear it. And so we know that that isn't true, that the enemy just tries to defeat us. It's God's mysterious work back in Romans. Let's look there, Romans 9. That's where I was quoting from, but we'll go on back there. Romans in the New Testament, chapter 9. He's not just trying to be mean to us, but he has an objective. He has a goal that he's working. So in verse 20 of this chapter 9 of Romans, it says, Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? We do that sometimes. We do. In verse 20, Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Verse 21, Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? In an old-fashioned setting like the Bible times, every pot was valuable. But not all pots were used the same, and not all pots were pretty. Some of the pots were very, very special, and they were used for certain things, that for beauty, for setting a table, for all the things. But how about pots to be carried out as with refuse in them? See, when I was a child, we had pots like that. It was not fun, but yet, we had to have the pot. It was important. It was an important thing. And so God uses us in different ways, and we're all important to him. He has ways he wants to change us and lead us into maybe something he wants us to do for him. You know, we know of people that were very close that are missionaries. God laid on their heart at a very young age to be a missionary. That's what Genevieve is, and she is down there, right? Boy, they've had coronavirus terrifically down there, but God has protected her. But she's there, and others that we know of, so many throughout this world that are doing different things for God. God had a certain way he wanted to mold that vessel as that girl, my daughter's age. I had her in class in youth camp. We slept in the same cabin. My daughter was there. God worked in those girls, and they went to Bible college together. They were roommates. And so Genevieve is very close to my heart. But you see, God has a way of working. He works in us as individuals. And we all have some purpose. Every one of us have a purpose. God wants to use us in a certain way. Doesn't matter if we're older or we're younger. Most of us that are older here know the way that the Lord has dealt with our lives and taught us and led us. In Isaiah, we won't turn back there, but 29th chapter, verse 16, this is a verse there. We're questioning the methods of the potter. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing formed say of him that named it, that he had no understanding? And that's what we do sometimes in our own fleshly nature. Well, why did God allow this? My, why would God allow this? Why haven't I been walking with God? Haven't I been doing the things God wants me to be and do? And here I am in this situation. But we don't have a right to do that. In Isaiah 45:9, it says there that the pot, it says the potsherd. You know what a potsherd is? It's a broken piece of pottery. And it says there that the potsherds are speaking against the Lord. And they're striving with their maker. And to strive with their maker is having a controversy and complaining, is what that word means. And it says there, I, the Lord, have made the earth and stretched out the heavens and all of their hosts. And he is the one that is the potter, and he is the designer. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Praise the Lord. I hope you've gotten to see a really good potter perform, do the things, because it's just so amazing, is it? They know exactly how much water to put on there. They know exactly how much speed. And the man down where we went, down in southern, was it Arkansas, that went down there and saw the potter work with the clay. Glory to God. So why does God work in us? Why would he take us? We become his child, and he starts. And, of course, he's working to bring us to him to be his child. And then he begins to work in our lives because he wants to change us and make us like Christ. That's what the scripture says, that we are changed into the image of Christ. Christ was a perfect Son of God, wasn't he? He was holy. Now, in our flesh, our natural body, we're never going to be holy in this body completely. But our body is to be the instrument of the Holy Spirit and be used of God. Our body, our hands, our eyes, our whole body, just be given over to God and be used of the work of the Lord. And he works on us individually, changing us. We have Christ in us, the new life of Christ in us. And we grow inwardly, but we hear the word of God. It's our food. And we learn to walk with God, and we learn to yield to God like the clay. I have to yield to God. He's going to punch me here. He's going to push me here. I have to yield to him and let him do the work. and spin me around and around. Do you ever feel like you're spinning around and around? Well, you're on the potter's wheel, and you're going around and around. But you know, he has his eye on the pot. He isn't looking off somewhere in the distance and feeling it with his hands. He could do that. But he has his eyes on the pot. Praise the Lord. He's only going to work that which he can to make us ready and right before him so that we can be ready for the coming of Jesus. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We're going to read with verse 12 here. Verse 12 of, pardon me, 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 12. This is a prayer of Apostle Paul as he was writing to these people, and he says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into the kingdom, his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, you heard it, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So what does God use to work on us? We talked about trials, but he uses his word, his written word. The word of truth comes to us, and it begins to change us and mold us. That's why it's good to be in church, to hear the word of God preached, but read the word at home. Read the New Testament especially. Read the scripture and meditate on it. Praise the Lord. The effectual work, it means the active, fervent, mighty work of God. Effectual. Not just going on over here and nothing happening. But the work, the word of God comes to us and it starts changing us. There is a work that takes place and we become more and more like Christ, like God, like the potter. And that's what he's working in us. Praise the Lord. Not by our self-effort or anything like that, but praise the Lord. It's by his work. He knows what he's doing. He is a master potter. Not like I was. Just a helper, but a master potter. In Ephesians 4:16, it says he's doing his effectual work. Praise the Lord. In other words, there is an effect to what he does. If he allows some trial to come our way, what does the scripture says? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. If the pot could tell what it's feeling while it was rotating around and around and getting dizzy from all the work and the punching and the pushing and the soaking with water and the rubbing of the hands, it would probably complain. But because we are the Lord's work, we should not complain. Let's look in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 speaks about the work of the Lord, beginning there with verse 14 of Ephesians 3. Paul is praying here. In verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints," that means all other believers, "what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Imagine that prayer. Is that possible? Is that possible, what he's saying? What he's praying? Yes, it absolutely is. And he works in our lives and changes us, doesn't he? Now, the next verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power that works in us is the Holy Spirit's power that God has sent back here to the earth. And that power will start working and changing our lives, speaking to us and changing our lives. Praise the Lord. And in Philippians 2:13 is another verse. There Paul says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now the word will there means it's his determination. See, it's not our will, but it's his will. Whatever he desires to do. And I want to read that to you out of the Amplified Version. For it is not your strength, but is as God who is effectually at work in you, both to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Do you ever think about that you have a purpose? Why are you here? Do you ever say that? Well, why am I here? What is God trying to do? You know, especially when we're going through a trial, we sometimes question and say, Lord, what is happening? You know, why is this happening? But God has a divine purpose, and we're here to fulfill his purpose. Praise the Lord. He is strengthening and energizing and creating in us a longing. And not only the longing, but the ability to fulfill your purpose, whatever your purpose is in life, whatever God wants to do through you for his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4:15. I think one of the themes of Paul's gospel is not just salvation as being born, you know, 2 Corinthians, not just being born again, which is wonderful because it gives us life eternal that we're going to go to heaven, but also a work of God in us every day, changing us, molding us into what he wants. If you keep that in your mind, how his hand is upon us. The Old Testament talks about that, about how his hand was upon me. Some of the prophets said that. His hand was on me. God's hand is on us. Hallelujah. And he's working. So we're going to be reading in verse 15 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. What does it mean it redounds? It means the grace of God that is so abundant works in us, and through our coming to the place where we're full of thanksgiving to God for that work, it redounds, which means it superabounds. It adds to the glory of God. When God is working in us and we are able to take that and overcome and say, okay, God, you know, I didn't get my way this time. What is it you're trying to do? And he is working. It's going to superabound to the glory of God as we accept that and praise him and glorify him in it in spite of it. In verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Do you ever feel like fainting in a trial? Wow, God, this is too hard. How can we take this? What's next? Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we feel that way because we're still in our human body. But it says, for this cause, that knowing that God is working in these things, and he's going to superabound, and he's going to bring it about in his own will, then for that reason, we don't have to faint in our trial. We have victory in God. But he says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I don't know how many times I've preached on these verses. I love these verses. Boy, what comfort this is. Though our outward man, our earthen vessel that we live in, is perishing, yet the inward man, that's Christ in us, is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what we have to keep our eyes on. And the next verse tells us that it's while we look not at the things which are seen. If we look at the circumstance, we look at the things which are seen. If we look at, hey, boy, the Lord's really putting pressure on me here. Boy, this is a trial I'm going through. How can this work anything good for me? See, because we're human, we do that. You admit that? I do. I admit that I do that sometimes. Lord, what's next? What's going on? How come we're here? But praise the Lord, that next verse, for our light affliction is but for a moment. It's just for a moment, and it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Just gone. That's life. Life is gone. We once were young. We're no more young anymore. We're old people. We're here. Some of you aren't, but some of us are. Yes. But we are victors in Christ, aren't we? While we don't look at the things which are seen, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the one that's the master potter. He's working it all out. He's going to have us prepared for the coming of Jesus. But he says, look at the things which are not seen. Now, how can you see things that aren't seen? With a spiritual mind, the mind that we have. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. We look at the things which are not seen. Okay, Lord, this is for my good, and in heaven, I'm going to have this place with you one day. I'm going to have this place. And so I'm going to be okay. God is going to bring me through. He says, for the things which are seen are temporal. We can live our life that way, and you know that. When we were young, we thought we had many, many years to live our lives. As you get older, you realize that if the Lord doesn't come soon, we may not be here. But we know that we have an eternal life, as he says here. He says, you look at the things which are temporal, but he says, look at the things which are not seen, which are eternal. That's what we have to keep our eye on all the time, that eternal work, that eternal thing that God is doing. He's promised to do it, and in Romans 9:28, he says, I will finish the work. I will finish the work that I have begun. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. One more scripture in Ephesians 1:11 says that he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What does that mean? He's got a bigger mind by far than we do. And we can figure out things. Are you a person who figures out things? Plans things? Yeah. You think you know what should be done. And then all of a sudden something happens and the whole thing is turned upside down. What on earth is happening? It's great to realize that God works everything after the counsel of his own will. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and a year from now and everything. He's got a plan. He's a man that plans. He doesn't just start some work and doesn't know how to finish. He knows he's finishing the work that he's doing. He's made pots out of us, and then he's going to glaze us with some things to make us beautiful. And then he's going to fire us. He's going to put us in a really hot oven. And we're going to have a time limit on it. God has that. He has that little gizmo that you set the timing. And he sets that timing when he's through, and when that pot is ready, heat is turned off. And we keep on going somehow. And we look back and we think, wow, how did I ever get through that? How did I ever get through that? It was God. He brought me through that. Oh, praise the Lord. There in that 18th verse of Ephesians 1 and 19th verse, it says, the working of his mighty power. It's by the working of his mighty power. Because he's God, he knows everything. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't. But our part is to have faith. He's going to take us okay. He's going to take us through. Everything's going to be fine. Let's look at one more scripture, and that's Philippians 3. Let's turn to Philippians 3, and we will close. One little scripture here. There's Paul just talks about this work. Just if you just look up the words, how often he uses the working of God, the work of God. It's just gobs and gobs of scriptures. Because he really believed that what God was doing in us after we're saved is there is a work. It didn't just end with our initial salvation and getting Jesus in our heart. He wanted to do a work to really change us and make us like himself. And so our part is to let him do that. In chapter 3, verse 21 is the scripture. It says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We better go back to verse 20. It says, for our conversation in the King James, but the word actually should be citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, is the Lord going to appear there in glory, and all of a sudden he's going to change all of our habits and all of our bad stuff and zap us and make us into exactly what he wants us to be? Is that the way it's going to be? No. He's working on me right now. He's working on you right now. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. When I was a child, we thought he was going to come back right then. And he didn't. He didn't come yet. But he's going to come. As he said he would. His word is true. But he is changing us right now. He's trying to do that. You know, he won't work against our will. If he's trying to do a work and we're saying no, he doesn't force us. He brings some circumstances sometimes which make us wish we had. But he's working because he loves us. And so he works this work. And it's all going to culminate one of these days. When he comes back again, he's going to have all of his work done. On us, the work will be done. Whatever he can work. Our part is to let him do that. It's like when I went to the doctor Friday to have my sinuses cleaned out. The first time I've actually gone through a sinus surgery without being anesthetized completely out. So I tried it once before and it hurt too bad. But this was quite an ordeal to sit there with my head tilted back and let this guy go in there and snip off little pieces of bones and all of that. I didn't enjoy it. I really didn't want it. But praise the Lord, the first part didn't hurt bad, but the second part really hurt when he got up in here. But praise the Lord, it went well, and I got out of there, and I'm fine. And that's the way it is with the Lord. The times that he has to really do something in us, that he wants to change. He wants it to change. He wants us to be like him. And we really, in our heart, want that. You know, it doesn't go against our will. He knows down deep what we really want. And so he's working. and he allows things to happen. And we sat there and think, oh my goodness, why? You know, why did this happen? But he has a purpose. He has a work that he's doing. And our part is to overcome that, not by our own strength, but by crying out to God to give us that ability to accept what happens in life and go on and be victorious in spite of it. Be that victor that he's looking for, that person that will take his grace and follow him and walk with him and yield to him. Praise the Lord. So we are the children of the living God, and he is working in us. That's his job. It's not my job to work on you. It's not your job to work on me. Thank the Lord. But he's going to work in us. Praise the Lord. So we're going to sing a song. If anyone has a need, come and we'll be glad to pray for you. You know, don't forget the prayer request that we brought today. Okay? Pray for one another.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Blessing fall on me.
Jesus, I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory.